Investor Schooling is an education company located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. Investor Schooling, the principals or their employees are not licensed by any regulatory institution. Larry Steinhaus are not registered reps of any investment firm, nor do they sell any securities. Their advice is based on their experiences and the experiences of their students. They are not attorneys or accountants, and before using any of their advice, they suggest you check with your legal or tax professionals. To find out more, go to www.investorschooling.com.
This show is previously recorded.
Now, let's welcome Larry Steinhaus and your hosts for Investor Schooling Live.
Love it. Good afternoon and welcome to Investor Schooling Live, coming to you from the Investor Schooling Studios. Hey, I'm Larry Steinhaus and I am the CEO of Investor Schooling. Get ready to learn real estate investing, stock options trading, and so many other things about money I bet you didn't even know. Hey, by the way, you can call into our show at any time with any questions or comments or talk about anything you'd like. 855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137. And even if you're driving with your top down today because it's such a beautiful day out, and I'm at your car top, that is, of course, you could still call me at 855-939-1137 and let's talk about it. Hey, we'll take your calls. It's a live program and you can call anytime during the show. Hey, don't worry about what we're talking about. We're going to have some fun. Hey, at Investor Schooling, we teach real estate investing, stock options trading, how to save money in taxes, how to be financially free, and we even give you the motivation to make money work for you instead of you working for money. Investor Schooling is located in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, right off the Newtown Bypass, serving the New Jersey and Greater Philadelphia area in a real brick-and-mortar building. Our students are also located in several states. We've got students in California, in Florida, in New York, all over the place with our exclusive web access to our classes and seminars. All right, get ready to learn this business, the business of entrepreneurship, real estate investing, and stock options trading for people who live it every day. Welcome to Investor Schooling Live with your friendly neighborhood financial expert. That's me, Larry Steinhaus, and I am here with a really cool guest. I got my buddy Trevor Evans here. What's going on, Trevor? Say hi.
Hi. How you doing, Larry?
Yeah, I got to tell you, Trevor, what's the matter? The mic got your tongue, man? You're usually talking and talking.
You're the what again?
I'm the friendly neighborhood financial expert.
What am I then?
You're the friendly Florida financial expert.
Good save. I'll take that.
Is that okay with you?
I love that. Yes. I'm so happy to be here, man. I'm having a great time already.
So actually, Trevor, you came down for my book launch. I really appreciate you coming up. That was really, really nice of you. You know, we've been friends for a long time. We're peers in the business, and we're going to get into a little bit of your story about that as well. But he was here for my book launch on Wednesday, and if you guys went, I know, Glenn, you went, right?
Absolutely. It was a great time.
Did we feed you well?
You did. I was stumped.
That was a good spread. I was impressed.
Well, thank you, man.
Yeah, I went back.
Yeah, so Trevor stayed a little while, and I said, hey, you should be on the radio show. We should talk. We should have the conversations that we usually have together on the radio and have a real good time teaching everybody about real estate and stock options. Well, I teach stock options. You don't teach that, but you teach real estate. You teach entrepreneurship. You teach banking. You owned a bank at one time, too,
formerly,
didn't you?
Formerly, yeah. Yeah, it was a good time.
Actually, I'm going to take a step back and let everybody hear your story. So I'm told by you.
Everybody
out there, this is Trevor Evans. And by the way, if you want to call in, 855-939-1137, 855-939-1137. Good, Trevor, tell us your story.
Very, very, very quickly. You know, I'm former military, have spent 10 years in the Army. Didn't know anything about real estate. Went to an event, saw this cool stuff about investing, didn't know what that was, spent the money, got involved into it, and found out that I was very, very good at doing it, especially the money side, and I wasn't good at math in school at all. So
you need to be good at math to deal with money?
I thought so before that until I actually did it. So
hey, listen, I'm going to give you a clue, man.
Yeah.
Four quarters equals a dollar.
Right. That's it. So when I learned that, oh my gosh, I don't have to be a economics major to do this business. So I was good at it and I was even better at teaching it. And
yeah.
So, you know, became an investor. I like that. I became an entrepreneur, loved businesses. And it's funny, the guy that I bought my store from, he's the one that actually got me into the banking, because he was starting up the bank in California. And hey, I ain't a partner. And I didn't know. I thought it was going to be something I needed to have some official type documents and a background. And no. And once he taught me what banking was, I said, hey, I'm already doing it now as an investor. But I thought that banking was about, you know, money. It's really not, you know, it's about it's financing. Sure, but yeah. So that partner, you know, he brought me in, and I loved that adventure, and I learned so much more about money being in that space, and it really enhanced my investing knowledge even more. And it taught me that, you know, this thing about investing is all about arbitrage money, right? Or of cash flow and that spread. So and the most surprising thing about this is that I never saw myself as an intelligent guy, because I went to 1 year of college. 1 year and dropped out.
By the way, you ready for this?
No, what's up?
You went to college longer than I did.
I'm kind of embarrassed that I went, you know.
Well,
you know?
It's funny you say that, because I keep thinking, I was like, why do all these people go to college? What a waste.
I went.
And if you're out there sending your kid to college, before you waste $100,000 on them or make them get student loans, make sure that they go into college for something that they need college for.
Well, let me tell you something. My kids aren't going to college now for anything that they need. They're going because they want to go, right?
Okay, there you go.
So my daughter's done. She's working in L.A. now. My son is in college now in Charlotte. So they're going because it's fun, not because I told them to go have this degree, because I don't want the damn degree, okay? You can keep it if you want to keep it. So I thought that I wasn't smart enough to be this investor entrepreneur. When you see them, you know how we look, you know, or how they look.
What entrepreneurs look like? Right? Well, you notice that entrepreneurs sort of all look the same?
They look like me.
They all look the same. They're all wearing, like, you know, plain clothes now.
Yeah.
I know you dress really fancy, and I put on these fancy jackets, but that's for show. Yeah. Right, we do it for show. You know, we're in front of a stage. We do it for show. But most of the time, I mean, we were just having this conversation today. I'm not wearing a black t-shirt today because it's my day off.
Right, right. And I'm wearing a nice turtleneck sweater.
Yeah, it's a beautiful sweater.
It's sexy. It looks good. Cause I look. Well, you know what? I make it look good. Put it like that.
Well, you guys online can see his red beard, but you guys on the radio, you got to see a picture of this guy. he literally dyed his beard red and his mustache
and my
red
eyebrows
and his eyebrows
and my eyebrows.
And please don't tell me anything else I don't want to know.
What? Well, that's the only hair I got.
Okay. Too much information right there.
Hey, you asked, right? So anyway, I learned I could be myself and be, you know, who I am and make a lot of money and help people doing the same thing. So I love it. And I love the helping aspect more so than what I do. You know, helping people helps me do what I do even better. I mean, people need to stop making investing so freaking serious. It's not that serious, people.
Right, exactly.
It's not that serious, okay? You don't need to have some quantum physics-type degree mind to buy a house at this price and sell it at that price,
Or buy a house at this price and rent it for this much money, right? I mean, it's not, you know, it's funny because people get hung up they always get hung up on the same thing. Well, what about the tenants? What if the tenants don't pay?
I mean, small stuff.
Right. Well, here's a great question, right? What if the tenants don't pay? Well, I got a better question. What if they do?
Yeah.
If they do, you made a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and what do you care? Yeah. You know, you're gonna figure out how to get them to pay.
Money is the most simplest concept on earth, and we, especially in America, we make it the most confusing thing that you think, just because it what buys your stuff, right? It's the most simplest concept. It's like the atom, you know, it was all smaller than that, right? Money is very, very simple. And you know what? That's probably why it's looked at so crazy, because the mind wants it to be complicated.
And we've been taught as children from our parents how complicated money is. Mm-hmm. You can't buy that. It's too expensive. Everybody out there who's got children, never tell your children they can't buy it. It's too expensive. Never tell them that.
Yes.
Tell them, hey.
Parents, I'm going to tell you this, parents.
Go buy it. Go buy it is what you
tell
them.
Yes, and I'm going to tell you something. If you're not where you want to be financially, parents.
Don't teach your children.
Stop teaching your children.
Yeah.
Okay?
Exactly.
Because they're going to come see me and I'm making feel bad about you. Okay? Because it's all your fault, right? Because if you want to know why you are where you are, it's your mama's fault. Point blank.
I love it.
Okay?
Absolutely.
So stop it. If you're not me, I'm teaching your kids. Okay? Yeah, let's put it out there.
I know you just got pretty excited.
I always do. I love this business, man. This topic.
It's fun, right? Yeah.
Because here's the thing about it. You do stocks, okay? And I think stocks are.
I do real estate too. I have a ton of real estate. Yeah.
I think stocks are confusing, and it's probably because I don't know stocks. But I'm sure that stocks can be just as simple as, because all it takes is just knowing the rules, right?
Right. Okay? Sure.
So
it's the same with real estate. You need to know the rules too.
Right. Right. And that's all I learned, is that everything that is everything has rules. And if people follow those rules, then they create the success. And but it takes having to unlearn almost everything you know about. Because I'll tell you this right now. I'll say it. Okay. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care how good you are at your job. I don't care what you are at your job. You do not know anything about money. If you have not paid me to teach you about money, you do not know
it's nothing a commercial
about money.
For Investor Schooling, not Trevor Evans, all right?
I'm just saying. I'm gonna take, well, whatever. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
And that's the concept. Yeah. If you're unwilling to unlearn what you know about money, you'll never learn it the proper way.
That's true. Why I wrote my book. You know, my book, you know, Money Hacks.
Great book, by the way. Great book. Thank you, man. There's some stuff in there that I taught you. There's some good stuff in there.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
I love that book. I want to make a book like that.
Well, you know, you want to know how to make a book like that?
How?
You do it.
Just do it?
Yeah, just like what we just said.
Okay.
I always thought I wanted to write. Now, not only did I write, I mean, this is like my fourth book. This is the best one, though.
People always say, Trevor, do you have a book? You write a book? I'm like, no, I had a book. But, you know, I do things when I want to, but I think I'm wanting to write a book now.
Then do it.
You know, it'll probably be a bestseller, too.
I'm sure it'll be a bestseller.
So
I'm sure that you and your whole family will buy it, and then if I buy it, 8 people will buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, eight people. You crazy.
I just couldn't resist.
You crazy. Right. 8 people. But not 8 people, nothing. Crazy.
Hey, real quick, if you're listening online or you're listening in your car, 855-939-1137, 855-939-1137, and feel free to ask us any questions about what we're doing and about entrepreneurship, about real estate, about anything. So I got a question for you, Trevor.
I got an answer for you.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
So we always, I like to tell the story of my first house. I don't know if you can, but can you tell the story about your first house that you bought?
That I bought?
Yeah, the first one you bought.
Okay. As an investor or as an investment?
No, as an investment. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What about it?
I don't know. Just tell a story.
It was a foreclosure.
Okay.
And it was a foreclosure, and I think the guy was in, well, it was a foreclosure, a real cheap one. Okay. It's one where I learned about what the bank actually is too as well, because I bought it and we're supposed to close on the property. We're on the contract and the guy wanted to close early, but I was out of town speaking and I couldn't go to the closing. So I sent somebody else to the closing because I'm ready to go.
Right.
So I got a phone call about 10 minutes later, say, hey, the guy doesn't want to close. I'm like, why?
Really?
And we didn't know why. So I said, I'll call the realtor and find out what's up. So I called the realtor, the guy's realtor. He goes, I don't know why he doesn't want to close. I said, okay, well, try and find out. So I go back home, and the realtor guy, I don't know why he doesn't want to close, okay? So I kind of felt bad, but I'm like, you know what? I can't make the guy close, so I guess his deal is out the water. So I called up my mentor, okay? And my mentor goes, okay, I told him what's going on. I said, I'm on a contract. The guy that wasn't doesn't want to close. What do I do? I think I'm stuck here. The guy goes, okay, how many more days do you have on your contract? I said, about 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
He says, okay. He goes, and the bank you're dealing with, does the bank know what's going on? I said, yes. He goes, okay, here's what you do. Does this, when I learned that real estate is actually a bank transaction between two banks. Okay. And if the bank approves the deal, that means that they approved the deal. Okay.
Sure.
So again,
so you were getting financing from a bank in this case.
No. I was buying it. Well, yes, my
right,
bank.
Right.
Yes.
You needed correct. Financing from the bank.
Right,
and
right.
So you were the buyer.
So I was the seller.
He was under foreclosure. So
mm-hmm.
So your bank, his bank had to agree to a certain price. Your bank had to give you funds.
Correct.
So
correct,
now you're saying
correct,
that really,
correct.
And it's funny because you're actually true. These two banks are, these
correct.
Two banks
they're
are,
the one,
right,
yeah.
Got you, okay.
Yeah. So, okay. So the, I forgot the particulars of the deal, but I know that, he was, he, he owed them less than what I was paying him.
Okay.
So the guy actually lost money, because here's what happened. And just for an example, he owed them, I think, 50 grand. I'm paying him $75,000.
Okay.
So the guy didn't want to close. So my mentor goes, okay, go to the bank and do this, right? So I did what my mentor said. So I contacted the bank, his bank. I said, hey, we're in a contract with this mortgage that you own. The seller doesn't want to close.
Sure.
Okay. However, you're on the you agreed to this transaction.
The short
sale.
You
still good with it?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, yeah, I'm still good with it.
Of course.
Okay. So I put out my checkbook and I said, okay, how much do I owe you? And so I bought the guy's note for 50 grand.
From the bank.
From the bank. That's where our contract deal was for 75,000.
Right.
But he owed his bank 50,000. So I bought the note from the bank.
Wow.
Okay. The bank, when I bought the note from the bank then gave me the not the deed, but he said, well, the owner.
The lien.
Yeah,
the
lien.
Right.
So he goes, well, that's now your problem. Okay. So I went to the guy's house. Well, I didn't go to the guy's house, but I contacted the guy. I said, look, I'm not as nice as your other bank. Okay. I just bought your note. And if you don't, all I want you to do is honor your contract. Okay. And he got 3 days to do it. Got his attorney involved. He thought, what's going on? What's going on? So I ended up becoming this guy's bank. And I sent it to my attorney. I said, look, send the guy this. I found out why the guy didn't want to close. I said, tell the guy this, okay? It is 2000 whatever, okay? We are no longer in 1950s, okay? We's intelligent now.
Right.
So, you know, I found out why the guy didn't want to sell the house to me. But
sure.
That's when I learned about banking. Like, oh, my gosh. So I literally just bought the guy's note.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And it became his bank. And then it was all.
And then you
done.
Basically made a deal.
Correct.
A deed in lieu deal.
Honor your contract, dude.
Right.
Yes.
It was a
deed in lieu deal.
Basically, you said,
that's
here's some money and give me the deed or I'll foreclose against you and you'll get nothing.
That's when I knew I had the power.
Right. That was awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I never heard that story from you. I always wanted to know, and I'm really glad you just told me that. That's pretty cool. By the way, if you're online watching or if you're in the car watching or car listening, 855-939-1137, 855-939-1137. You can also leave comments on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Twitter. It's 855-939-1137, 855-939-1137. So we were having a little conversation before we started about corporations.
Oh, Larry.
And you were so upset because you were watching some video of some guy teaching something, and it's just very, this is common, by the way. It's common that you and I or other people in our business, the good ones, the people. So just to understand, I've been in this business for 40 years. I know you've been in the business for 20 years?
Not even. I'd say 15.
Okay, so he's been in business 15. I've been in business for 40 years. And understand that there are people out there who bought their first house a year ago, and they're saying, and they're going out telling people how brilliant they are and how they're a real estate investor. I'm going to tell you right now, they don't know nothing yet, especially if they haven't lived through a 2008. You lived through it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if they haven't lived through it,
that's when I started, actually.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. So if they haven't lived through that, they have no idea what's going on there. But they're making videos now, teaching other people. And you know, it's funny. I don't call them my competition or people like Trevor's competition. I actually call them fools.
Mm-hmm.
Because and the people who follow them are much bigger fools. But you were watching a video on somebody talking about corporations right before we went on the air, and we had this whole conversation about it. Why don't you tell what you saw and what you thought?
Well, here's the thing about it. Now, if you know me, what you do, Larry, I because of who I am and what I am, I have to really know what I'm talking about. Okay, mm-hmm. And nothing upsets me more than to see people's intelligence get insulted. Okay. Because they talk about these corporations, entities, and all that kind of stuff. And I swear, people think that an LLC is a business. Okay? People think that an LLC is a corporation. It's not. And the reason why they think it is because the LLC has a tax ID number. Okay. Well, that's not what makes it a business. In fact, it can never be a business. Okay. Here's the simplest way to know whether or not it's a business, right?
So when you say business, you actually mean corporation, not
correct.
Business.
Yes, I'm sorry.
A business, yes. If I exchange a dollar for anything, that's a business.
Correct. Correct.
Even
correct.
Though some people don't. So, yes, so when course, you mean corporation. Corporate. You know, I knew that's correct. What you meant. I knew you were general. I just wanted to correct.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Yes. So a corporation, right. A true business, okay, is taxed. If you're familiar with Robert Kiyosaki's tax flow quadrant. Okay, yeah. You got the E, the S, the B, and the I.
Well,
okay?
Why don't you explain it to people?
Well, the cash flow quadrant are the four ways in the world that you can make money. Mm-hmm. Okay, you either make money as an employee.
That's the E.
Yeah, right? That's the E, or as a S, which is self-employed or a specialist. Right? Right, that's the left side of the quadrant, mm-hmm. where the employee pays up to 30% in taxes on income earned, mm-hmm. and the self-employed pays up to 60%. Okay, in taxes of money earned. And then you have the right side of the quadrant, which is the B and the I, the right. business system and the investor, where you can pay from 0 to 5% if you know what you're doing
right.
in taxes on money earned. So businesses are taxed on the right side of the quadrant. Okay.
Right. Got you.
An LLC is only taxed on one side of the quadrant. That is the left side.
Right.
So how the heck can you say you have a business and you're taxed like an employee?
So you're talking about yes. a single member LLC.
Single member LLC,
right, because
yes.
a partnership LLC is actually taxed almost like an S-Corp.
Almost, but here's the thing about S-Corp. Right. An S-Corp doesn't get taxed. Here's why. Because an S-Corp can't file taxes. An S-Corp doesn't file taxes, well, right? An S-Corp files a K-1, and then the managing member of that leftover income, it files the taxes, and it will be filed if you're an individual on the S,
which
okay,
is the same as a multi-member LLC.
Yes, on the right side, if it's a corporation. Okay, so whether or not you're a business is not what you freaking do; it's how you're taxed.
Stop yelling.
No.
I got these headphones on. They're very loud when you yell.
It's how you're taxed.
Hold on a second. We got Frank online who might have a question. Hey, Frank, what's going on?
Hi, Larry. Hey, Trevor. How you doing?
How you doing, Frank?
I'm calling for my neighbor. Her and her husband.
You're calling
they
for
ran
your
a
neighbor?
Home. Yes, Blake. I told her to listen to the show. I've been telling her for a week. She's a little shy, and I called her before the program started, and there was no answer, so she's probably not listening. They rent a home.
Okay.
I remember a couple months ago, Phil told the story a couple times about he was wanted to buy a home. They were going through a divorce, and she wanted to sell, but he didn't. He bought it for $1 plus a case of Rolling Rock. He just took over the payments.
Oh, no, that was me. That's my story.
I thought it was over there. I got mixed up.
No, that's my story. That was my first Subject 2 deal when I bought the property for $1 and a case of Rolling Rock.
Yeah,
Phil told the same story then.
No, he didn't tell the same story. It's just my story.
Well, I'm telling her about your book, Money Hacks.
Sure.
Will that book teach someone who doesn't want to buy homes just for investment and want to buy either somehow find a way to take over the home they're renting from or just to buy their own home? Will your book, Money Hack, teach them how to do that or no?
So the answer is it won't teach them everything about it, but it'll teach them the basic concepts and it'll get their mind open. So they'll start to understand, hey, you can actually take over mortgages. But actually, as you know, that's my favorite way to buy houses is a process called Subject 2. So I take over the houses subject to their mortgage. I basically buy the house. The house goes from their name to my trust or me, if make it easy. And then I make their payment for them and the house is mine and I can sell it. I can collect rent on it. I can do anything I want, but I can even live in it if I wanted to. So that's my absolute favorite way to buy houses is buying houses subject to the mortgage.
I told her in a very short version because I didn't remember that much. Her name's DeAndre. DeAndre, listen and get the book. but also, Trevor, the story you gave about how you first started out, someone just can't go to a bank and take over someone's deed. I mean, there's more to it than that. Can you just tell the rest of the story, please?
Well, he didn't take over the deed. Don't forget.
Yeah,
Frank.
I didn't take over the deed, okay? All I did was take over the note. I bought the note. The owner still owned the home. Okay, so in a real estate transaction, what's happening is one bank is buying another bank's money. So what I did was I said, hey, bank, my bank, don't you buy the money, I'll buy the money. So I went to his bank and I bought his note from his bank and became his bank. He still owned the home, right?
Right.
So I gave him 3 days to, to honor his contract, and it was all good. So I didn't buy the house. I bought the note. He still owned it. He was upset because he thought it couldn't be done. But I never bought the home that way. I bought the guy's money, okay? He still owned the home.
So he basically owed Trevor the money instead of the bank.
Correct.
And then Trevor said, look, you got two choices. You could, you got three choices. You could start paying me your normal payment that you're supposed to make.
Which he couldn't.
Which he obviously, you know, if he would have been making it to the other bank. He also could have said, hey, listen, I could foreclose against you. Or let me give you a check for a certain amount of money and you could go away and we don't have to worry about this anymore and you move on. So we actually have someone in our school, at Investor Schooling, Debbie. She's the tax lien queen. And she teaches tax liens in our school. So when Debbie comes in and talks about tax liens, it's awesome. So you definitely want to, you definitely want to come in and learn about that as well. If you're out there listening, obviously everybody knows you can go to investorschooling.com and you could sign up and learn more about that too. All right, Frank, anything else? Because we got to move on.
Yeah. Just try to make your book available on tape. I'm the guy with the bad eyes. So make your book available on audio so I can listen to it sometime.
That's twice now,
and
Larry.
I'm talking to another friend of mine, Larry. I'm talking to another friend of mine. He says he's going to go up there. So one day, hopefully soon, I will be able to attend one of the classes on a Thursday.
Everybody's telling me I should read my own book, right? All right, so I'm going to read the first page. Have you ever watched those late-night infomercials, the ones where motivational speakers are trying to convince you that they're just three easy payments away from completely changing your life and receiving the wealth of your dreams? Better yet, have you ever made one of those late-night purchases? If you have, there's a really good chance you still have that binder of life-changing material sitting under your bed, covered in dust. Don't feel bad. You're in good company. That was me once upon a time. I had a whole collection of those binders. That's enough of my reading today. Was that okay, though, Frank?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, and nice listening to you, Trevor. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Frank.
I told you something soon, maybe 1 or 2 months at the latest, my friend John's going to give me a ride up there. I'm going to be able to meet you in person. I'm listening all the time, and I love your program, Larry.
I don't do this to anybody, but you come in, I'm going to give you a free copy of the book because you can't read it.
Yeah, it might be a blank piece of loose leaf. I don't know the difference.
That's true. I could give you. I could give you the one that was in print that had all blank pages in it. I could actually give you. You know, there is a book out there that has all blank pages in it. You know what it's called?
I heard it before. I forget everything.
It's called What Every Man Knows About Every Woman, or What a Man Knows About Every Woman, or something like that.
And it sells too.
And it sells. Yeah, exactly. All right, Frank. Thanks so much. Hey, real quick. So Mike online, actually, while we were talking about LLCs, he wanted to know about a sole proprietorship. Now, look, a sole proprietorship, just to make it really simple, if the guy cutting your lawn, like your neighbor who has a 13-year-old kid cutting your lawn, and you give him $25 to cut your lawn, I must be pretty old if I say $25.
Right.
But if $25 to cut your lawn, that's a sole proprietor, right? He's got he's got all the liability. I mean, he's 13 years old. His parents have the liability. But if anything happens, if you're operating a real business, if you're cutting somebody's lawn here and there or doing something simple and you get a couple of bucks for it, that's sole proprietorship. But understand, if you're operating anything that is a consistent business, you want to move away from that sole proprietor model as soon as possible.
Because here's the thing, Larry, to bring it home. An LLC, single member, is a sole proprietor. Okay, the LLC model came out in 1978, right? And before that, it was called a sole proprietor. So,
the sole proprietor still exists. It was just a step above sole proprietor and a step below a corporation.
Right. So now, people get confused because the LLC has a tax ID number, and here's the thing. In order to have that tax ID number, the LLC must file IRS Form 2553.
I hate when you know all the numbers of the forms.
I'm a smart guy. what that form does, all it does is it allows the LLC to be issued its number, and it allows the LLC to expense like a corporation,
right.
But it does not make it one. So out there in Facebook world, radio world, your single member LLC is not a corporation, okay? It is only allowed to expense like one if you have filed IRS Form 2553, which is what gives you your tax ID number. That's what that form does.
Right, but the LLC has one major advantage. It transfers the liability from you to the corporation. That's what it's all about. So basically, you know, the example I gave before, you have the lawnmower, and you put the lawnmower next to the house, you know, and while you're filling it with gas, and the lawnmower goes on fire, and the house goes up in flames.
That's it.
Right.
That's, LLC does not give you asset protection. LLC does not give you tax advantage. It doesn't. LLC, that's all it gives you, asset protection, okay? It doesn't give you no tax benefits, all right? You're not a business like a corporation. All the LLC gives you is asset protection if your property is structured. Now, here's the thing. If you are a single member LLC, you're not properly structured because the only properly structured asset protected LLC is a multiple member LLC.
Well, okay, so here's the thing, because you're going there, but you're going there, you're taking one step ahead. So in an LLC, you are properly structured if you do everything right. No one does it right.
No one does.
The first thing you need an operating agreement. And if you don't have an operating agreement, which 95% of all the people out there have LLCs, do not have an operating agreement, which means right away, your LLC is void.
And here's the thing, you also need more than one.
Operating agreement?
No.
LLC. That's something else.
Yeah.
But let's talk about this. The one LLC. So if you're a single member LLC, you have to have an operating agreement. The other thing you have to do is make sure you don't commingle funds.
Mm-hmm.
Now that doesn't mean you can't take $10,000. If your company needed $10,000 and you have it, lend the money $10,000. But as soon as you transfer $10,000 from your bank account to the LLC's bank account and don't mark it as member loan. If you marked it as just a payment and you took money back out and money goes back and forth between your two accounts, you are no longer covered. You got to be really careful on this one.
And by goodness, don't tell the IRS you did that.
Yeah, I've seen that before. Like, somebody gets sued. And what do you think? The other attorney, they're smart. They're not. They ask the simple questions. Have you ever put money into your LLC out of your personal account? And of course, why wouldn't I? I needed some money. And as soon as you say yes, you breach your LLC.
And guys, here's why you need to be educated, okay? So come to Larry's school, all right? Because here's why. If I asked the entire world out there when taxes were due, I would get the exact same answer, which is April 14th. That's incorrect, 15th. Okay? April 15th. Taxes have never been due on April 15th ever in the history of taxes, okay? Taxes are due for everyone on December 31st of every calendar year. Taxes are then late the following year on January 1st, all right? The only other entity where they're due on a different date, that is a C Corp. In a C Corp, taxes are due on the inception date of the anniversary year, which means if you created a C Corp on June 5th, 2022, taxes are due when? June 5th, 2023.
But that's only true. So you could do two kind of ledgers. You could do a annual ledger or a, what's the other one called?
Quarterly.
No. That's what I'm talking about. Calendar ledger versus I don't know. I can't remember what it's called. You could choose that. But you have to go by. So if you form the corporation on June 1st, you could actually start.
You could start
January
1st. You could retro it.
But
yes.
I forgot what it's called.
But for everybody else, taxes are due on December 31st. They've never been due on April 15th. In fact, you're penalized from January 1st all the way to April 15th for not paying them when they're due, which is December 31st. If you knew more about when your taxes were due, you probably know what your business is and what your business is not. Because it's these things here that make me just say, come on, people, learn this stuff. Because and again, stop hating on the IRS, okay? The IRS doesn't do anything to you. All right? Because here's the thing. You do not pay the IRS nothing. Okay? The IRS does not collect your taxes. All right? The IRS is the governing body that enforces Title 26. What's Title 26? The tax code. Okay? So who do you pay your taxes to? Not the IRS. Not the government.
Department of Treasury.
Your U.S. Treasury.
Yeah, right.
That's who you pay it to.
Yep.
So, hey, the IRS just said, look, bro, I ain't the one taking your money. Okay, I'm Debo. I'm just here to govern what Title 26 says. Okay, so and stop saying taxes. Okay, the proper name is Title 26. Okay? If you want to be smart and sound smart, call taxes by their proper name.
I thought you didn't go to college.
I didn't.
So what do you know? What do you got to use all these big words for?
Title 26 is what it's called. That is the entire tax code. All right.
Hold on a couple minutes. We're going to take a commercial in a second, but if anybody wants to call in, 855-939-1137, 855-939-1137. I'm here with my good buddy Trevor Evans, and you can probably tell why we get along so well, because this is the stuff we do. We look up this stuff. We read this stuff. We talk about this stuff. It's crazy. Oh, thank you, Michael. That's what it was. It was calendar year or fiscal year.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
It was driving me nuts. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. Calendar year or fiscal year. All right. 855-939-1137. Let's take a break. We'll see you guys on the other side. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Are you afraid of the Great Reset? Well, the Great Reset won't apply to those who own real assets. At Investor Schooling, we teach you how to own real assets like real estate, gold, silver, and other investments, including stocks, stock options, and even the basics of cryptocurrency. We even teach you how to pay thousands less in taxes legally. So go to InvestorSchooling.com and find out how you can attend a complimentary class this Thursday. InvestorSchooling.com. This is Larry Steinhaus, and you have probably heard my radio shows and listened to my great advice on how you can make more money and pay less taxes. Well, I just finished writing a book on all things I teach at Investor Schooling and on my radio shows. This book is called Money Hacks, and you want a copy of this book, and you can pre-order this book wherever books are sold. Look for Money Hacks by Larry Steinhaus. Hey, it might even be a tax deduction. Order Money Hacks by Larry Steinhaus wherever books are sold, and come see me at Investor Schooling. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Are you tired of the Biden economy? Do you want to learn how to thrive in the Biden economy? Because we're going to teach you that this Thursday night at Investor Schooling. So go to InvestorSchooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday night and learn how to thrive in the Biden economy. You can also call us at 215-876-3002, 215-876-3002. Tell me you're tired of inflation. InvestorSchooling.com. We will see you Thursday. Welcome back to Investor Schooling Live. I am Larry Steinhaus. I am the CEO of Investor Schooling, and I'm here with my good friend, Trevor Evans, and we are just talking about money. We're talking about corporations. We're having a really good time here, and you know, we only got 20 minutes left, Trevor. You know, you and I could talk for a while.
Dude, we need an hour. How long is the show? Hour?
Yeah, it's an hour.
It can't be an hour.
I hate to say it, but that's all they give us. Unless Gary Arnell doesn't want to come.
Listen, reach out to Glenn.
Reach out to Gary and see if he'll give up his show after our show, and we could just do it.
I got too much to talk about.
And we could just do it. We could take his hour.
I'm sure he'll be very happy to do so.
You think so?
Yeah, I'll ask him right now.
I'll definitely take the hour. That's pretty funny. I was kidding, but you know, but I'm not even sure if PHC would like that. But if they do, it's okay with me. We'll enjoy the show. All right. Anyway, so getting back, so we talked about LLCs. Let's talk about something interesting. Now, if you go into so Trevor was here. So some of my students know who are watching online, and some of the students who were here on Thursday. Trevor was here talking about how to save thousands. I actually calculated it turned out to be more than half of the interest on your mortgage by doing something so simple that it's difficult. Now, I'm going to let you talk about the highlights of it, not the actual, because it's very complicated. It actually, in fact, I'm going to tell you something right now, Trevor. I'm going to be teaching parts of it and also the other thing called Velocity Banking this Thursday. So if you're listening and you always wanted to come to Investor Schooling and you have a mortgage, if you have a mortgage and you want to save thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of interest, you definitely want to come this Thursday night, because I'm going to be teaching you a way that will blow your mind. It'll cost you no more money out of your pocket. And you'll save thousands, hundreds of thousands even, on your interest. But why don't you give them the highlights of what you were talking about on Thursday and what I'm going to be continuing on this Thursday?
Well, the highlights is that most people don't understand that a mortgage is not about money or financing, okay? It's about banking or about lending, okay? Mortgages are about banking. And the bank did not loan you any money when you got your mortgage, okay? You actually, because the bank, here's the bank's business scope. The bank's business scope is the purchase and sale of paper, the buying and selling of money. So a bank can only make money if they buy it or sell it, right? So if you got a mortgage from your bank, you did not get a loan from your bank, okay? You actually bought that money from your bank, and you bought it wrong in every single facet, right? Because one, you bought that money retail, because your house is retail you bought, okay? Mm-hmm. So your mortgage is bought, you bought that money retail, and you're being charged interest on money that you bought. That's the rule right there. No one that buys money pays interest on money that they buy, right? Because it's already, because you have to buy it at a discount. So because you're not doing that, you're breaking the rule. So I'd say 99%, or let's be correct here, 95% of all Americans are paying interest to their banks that they have no future interest, they have no legal obligation to pay, because they don't understand that the bank did not give you a loan, you actually bought that money. So what you actually did is what's called compound interest funding, okay? And compound interest funding means that your little bitty rate of 2.5% or whatever, okay, is actually amortized over the life of
that
loan.
Which is now 5 or 6%, right? Which
exactly.
is amazing, right?
Right? It's amortized over the life of the loan, but it resets every month. And here's a rule, okay? Every time a rate resets, it's a brand new quotation marks loan. Right. So your loan resets every month. Right. And by the rule, that's a brand new loan. So in your eyes, you see one loan from your bank. Mm-hmm. But your bank sees how many loans?
360. Right. Exactly.
OK. Now, if you take your rate of 2.5% and you now multiply that by 12. Right. That's 30%. OK. So you're actually paying 30% interest over the course of that year on that loan. Now, it gets even worse, right? Everybody in America, they get some loan.
Wait, I got to stop you because right now you're going to have people going, huh?
I want to go, huh?
And
come
your
class.
You need to understand that he there's a whole bunch of other calculations in that.
A lot more.
To 30. And I'm actually going to prove these calculations on Thursday. But I just want you to understand that the number is actually real. It's actually, I actually calculated it to be 29.97%. And because when he started doing this, I'm like, wait a minute. I went and looked at my numbers and it came out to 29.97%, which is real. But you have to see it first and understand it. But go ahead. In case you had people scratching their head.
People call me a pro for all the wrong reasons, Larry. You know, and I take it. Okay. You know, a pro, and people say I'm a pro because I got a lot of experience, money and knowledge, right? That's an accolade. That's not what makes me a pro. A pro is someone that gets a guaranteed consistent result. Mm-hmm. That's a pro. Now, why does a pro get that? Here's why. A pro is someone that does whatever they do based on the rules that govern what they do.
That's why the rules of the crazy options trader work so well in the stock options class. But hold on a second. We got Tom. What's going on, Tom? What's happening?
Hey, Larry. I'm just trying to... How do we get in touch with Trevor?
You can't get in touch with Trevor.
Why not?
Because I don't want you to. No, I'm only kidding. Actually, Trevor's a really cool guy. So connect... So go to Facebook. I know you're... Are you at your home?
Oh, yeah.
So go to Facebook, right? Look up Trevor uh-huh. Evans. And,
okay.
And go to your Facebook.
And go to my Facebook. Yeah. You'll see it. Click through there. Connect to Trevor Evans. Reach out, message him, and you'll be able to register. I don't think you have a website, do you?
Not for that. I got one for my brand.
So go there. You can reach out to Trevor Evans. You can connect to him. Were you online on Thursday? Did you see him speak?
I did.
All right. Did you like it?
You bet.
All right. Cool. Well, I'm going to give you part two of that because he's not here this week or he would be doing it. But I'm going to give you part two of that this Thursday. And I'm telling you, anybody out there, go to investorschooling.com. You are in for a treat. If you have a mortgage, one or 20, I don't care how many you have, when you see what I'm going to teach you, which is the second part of, well, it's a second part plus it's another part of showing you how to save hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest, you're going to want to be there. So go to investorschooling.com and sign up for that. You will be absolutely blown away by
this. The banks, if you have a mortgage and you have not talked to myself or Larry, the banks are robbing you blind and you are paying an upwards up to 70% more than you actually contractually have to. And if that doesn't get you fired up to do it, to make a change, you deserve to be where you are. I'm sorry. I keep it real.
Hey, Tom. So you guys know, I recognize Tom's voice, so I knew he was a student. So, Tom, what do you think about investor schooling so far?
That's great. Everybody should join.
Well, you sound so enthusiastic, man.
He's sure relaxed.
Glad,
that's why.
I'm sure glad I'm not paying you to do this
He's
commercial.
He's comfortable.
I just had lunch.
Why? Would you have turkey or something? Like you have the tryptophan and you're falling asleep?
Yep, just about. I had Chinese.
Well, you'll be hungry in 20 minutes, so I'll let you go.
Okay, take care, Larry. Take care, Trevor.
Thank you. Take care, sir.
All right, Trevor. What do you think we should talk about next? This is pretty interesting.
It doesn't matter to me. I got it all in my head.
You got a lot in your head?
I got it all, yeah.
Is that why all the hair is missing?
Yeah, oh, huh?
But you shave yours. Mine's falling out.
Yeah, perfect. Does this work? Is this plugged in?
It should charge.
I hope so, because I'm almost dead.
Yeah, well, if not, I'll get you a charger at the end of the show, you know? I mean, you know, I realize that, you know, your phone's much more important than this show.
Very important.
But, you know, there are people out there listening. You can't have dead air.
I hope they're listening.
We can't just have dead air, Trevor. We have to talk about something.
You know what? If y'all would like this to happen a lot more often, comment that and say, hey, listen, we want to see more Larry and Trevor.
Yeah, if you guys, I like that idea. Listen, I had a better idea. Are you ready? I got a better idea. Somebody call in right now. I never do this.
Okay.
But I'm going to give somebody a call in right now and says, hey, they want Trevor more often. And I'm going to give them a copy of my book.
Ooh.
Which I don't do.
Too.
I don't give away
it's
my
book.
It's
a great book, too.
Right. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. So if you call in, you got 10 minutes, man. Actually, you got 8 minutes. Unless of course, Gary Arnell wants to eat his barbecue dinner earlier.
People always say, Trevor, you got to get your stuff out there. You know what? Well, give me a reason to. Give me a reason to, because right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I like that. I like that idea better. Yeah, yeah. I like that idea better because give Trevor a reason to come by more often. Because you got to remember, he's got to come up from Florida. I mean, the guy's the guy's wealthy and he's got all this money as a real estate investor and an entrepreneur, and he's got a couple of businesses. But it still takes the time to come up here. Now I know this time you actually drove, which is very unusual for you.
I loved it too. I love driving.
I mean, I know you're usually a first class flyer like I am,
uh-huh.
And I was surprised when you pulled up in your cheap little piece of junk car that you have out there.
Just a little something.
Yeah, where in Florida are you from, Trevor? Where in Florida?
I'm actually from Lee County, which is it's Fort Myers, Cape Coral, which is on the Gulf Coast of Florida.
You know,
I know Fort Myers. Yes.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm in Cape Coral. Yeah.
You know, I totally appreciate you just interrupting my show, Glenn.
I could do it more if you want.
Well, you're always welcome to talk. But,
I just ask one tiny little question.
Well, Glenn, we're in the middle of we got a thing going on here, and if you're coming on to say that that Gary said that he appreciates me, that him getting paid for us doing his show, I have no problem with that. But at the same time, I'm not expecting that. I don't even know if that's even possible. I don't know if the radio station would allow it.
I like Larry? I like Larry because one, he's smart, he knows his stuff. But Larry is a straight shooter, and I've been here for a couple of days now, and I've watched Larry. The man has a heart. And he actually cares about his students, like for real, for real. I mean, I watched this man give a dude a deal. I'm like, now that's a heart deal right there. Because, and you can see what he gave this guy because that he actually cares about the person's success. And I can get down with that. Okay, because you actually literally do care about, not that you didn't, but,
I appreciate what you're saying.
I can judge that from looking at you and hearing, and I love that. So guys, if you're not taking advantage of what Larry's offering, he's a great man and has a great heart, and all he wants to do is see people succeed. I say Larry lives vicariously through other people's success, literally.
Yeah, I'm gonna cry now.
Literally.
You're just such a nice guy. I'm gonna
literally.
Cry. That's so awesome. All right. So, by the way, don't forget, we actually had somebody who just they hung up. They wanted the book, and you said all those nice things about me, and they hung up.
Oh, call back again.
Well, John, if you want to call back again, you can. But, I can understand that, you wanted me to be a jerk instead of being a nice guy. All right, man. Let's talk about one more thing before I talk a little bit about the stock market. What do you think? You pick a topic. No, I was talking to Trevor.
Who,
but
me?
He didn't know I was talking to him.
Oh, I didn't know what I was talking about.
He didn't understand that we're on. He didn't understand that we're on, you know, the radio, and sometimes I got to do
okay,
other things.
Okay, I'm not. You know.
But we got somebody online, so hold on a second. Yeah. We got. Is this a different Frank or is this the same Frank? Okay, Frank, did you want a book? Is that the story?
Same Frank, you said get a copy of the book now. I don't want to tell you something. You said first caller, I'm the first caller.
Hey, Frank, if we were a real show, Frank, you know, like a real show.
No.
You know, we would have a 30-day call-in limit. You know, you can only call in once in 30 days. But since nobody ever calls us, you could call in 30 times a show.
Yeah.
Trevor, I need legal advice.
Here's the thing. Convince Trevor to come here. Again, and we'll see if he's convinced, and I'll get you the book.
He just had two people call in and say they want him back. That's two good reasons. He said, give you one. I gave you two of them.
That's weak.
It's better than nothing. I can keep on going on. Then it'd be the Frank show instead of Larry Stein in the house show. Come on, Larry.
He's the first caller. Yeah. You know.
He could have the book, but I wanted to see if he would work for it. You know.
I'm
your biggest fan, Larry.
No, and I appreciate that, Frank. You're my second biggest fan.
I listen to your WWDB Monday through Friday all the time.
Well, that's awesome, man. I appreciate that. So what he's talking about is my show. I have another show, another station, 7:30 in the morning, WWDB. I'm on every day.
You know what?
We actually got a couple minutes, Frank. I got to let you go because, believe it or not, there is another Frank on the line. So, Frank, I got to let you go. What's going on, other Frank?
Hey, this is other Frank. How you doing? Just calling to say we need more Trevor.
Why?
Because his wisdom is unbelievable.
I love.
You know,
that.
I was there.
Do you know him or something? Do you know him?
No, I'm an active student right now at the investment school.
I was there this past Thursday. Yeah, I know you are. Okay, sure. All right, so tell me about what you think of the school since Tom was like. Yeah, investor schooling's really good. Maybe you could have a little more enthusiasm.
It's a great place to learn, man. If you want to come in and just learn about stock options and the real estate, it's a very simple baby steps of learning everything.
It's a great place to be. Listen, I want you to record my next commercial. Hi, this is Larry Steinhaus. Investor schooling is really exciting, and if you really want to come here, you can learn stock options and real estate, and you know, and you might even learn something else. So just come to investorschooling.com, and thanks a lot. That's what everybody sounds like. What's wrong with my students?
Because they're echoing you probably. They need me to liven them up. You know what? You gotta find some way to get me on all your shows, because you know what? I bring some heat to things.
Oh, really?
Really.
We'll get you on all the shows.
Really?
I tell you what, why don't you come up here every single weekend? You can be on every show.
You know what? You know, you're an expert in stocks, okay? And I'm not. And I love to know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Right? If you can help me get to just a little bit higher than I am, my stock knowledge, maybe I'll share some of my real self, you know, every week or whatnot, because I want to be able to match your knowledge. I love sparring with you, okay? And if you talk about stocks, you win every fight. I hate losing.
All right, well, let me give you a couple of quick tips in stock market since we got just a few more minutes.
Cool.
Hold on a second. You like the? By the way, did you like the stock option consultant the other day?
Man, that was I need me a persona now, but I am one already though.
What
persona?
Your persona, yeah. So stock option consultant. This is his theme music.
He's pretty good.
Stock option consultant. Stock option consultant.
All right, so we had a crazy week. We had a really good week last week. We had a crazy week this week. And I called it. If you guys were paying attention to what I said, you would know that I said that the stock market was going to range between, the Dow anyway, was going to range between 31,000 and 33,000. And sure enough, I was dead on. It actually hit a bottom of, it just touched below 31,000, and it finished that day at 31,250, and the other day it hit 33,000, maybe 100 or something like that, and sure enough, it's been falling ever since. Now, we're right at that top, we're right at that 33,000, it's actually 32,900 right now, which means I think it's still going down, so I think this is going to be another bad week, so keep that in mind, that I think it's going to be another bad week. In fact, if you're a stock option player and you understand puts, if you have a really good date on Monday, a really good day on Monday, you want to get Puts on the Spy. I think it'll be a great play. Now, Puts on the Spy are different than what we usually teach you to do. We usually teach you to go out pretty long term. But Puts on the Spy, just for a couple of days, you could probably make a nice return. You might be able to make 50 to 100% on return on that money if you play that and if you understand how I got that range. I also telling you that I believe the stock market will be heading down to 28,000. The Dow will be heading down to 28,000. If you take a look at some of the charts, and I obviously can't show you charts on the radio, but I'm going to tell you that if you take a look at some of the charts, you'll see that most of the stocks are going back to their pre-pandemic levels. When I say pre-pandemic, I'm not talking about right before the, I'm not talking about like, you know, right before the pandemic. I'm talking about a year before the pandemic, where they're going to 2018, 2019 prices. That's where I believe they're going to settle. And, you know, we're going to have that same range again. Because I got to be honest with you. I mean, look, you know, we all blame Biden, and Biden is, I mean, to call him a fool is probably a compliment. And he is. But the problem is, it's not just about him. It's about the influx of money that came through. The oil prices are absolutely his fault, though. There's no doubt in my mind. So if you're paying ridiculous rates on oil, that's definitely his fault. All right. So we only got a few more seconds. I mean, literally a few more seconds. So you got 10 seconds to say something, and then I got to take us out.
Thank you very much. I had a blast. I would love to do this again more often. This was fun. I love the interaction.
All right. I want to thank our in-house producer, Mike Kuiper. Did I say it right this time? And our producer at WPHT, Glenn Page. Go to investorschooling.com, sign up for Fastest Thursday. We will see you then. Have a great day.